Boom. But your phone. Your phone, Sesh. It's your phone.
It's the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. That technology.
The poor craftsman that
Apple's
tools.
Blame the dead Steve Jobs for the button pushing on.
Well, it's not like
you're
gonna see.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
What's that?
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast.
Okay. Why?
Matt
Why are
Starnes
you listening?
Lord,
because we're here.
That's right.
And Tiffany, the technician.
Hi!
You spiked it from over there! The one time you do it. Oh, thanks for joining us, episode 153. David and Chris are back from Shakespeare, Carolina. How was the garage? Well, did Field behave himself in the garage? Did he?
Yeah, we forgot to do that bit in the last
episode. Yeah,
oh,
we forgot to do
that. Fuck a duck. I'll let that out. I won't.
All right,
okay.
No, you won't. So episode 153, we have Shakespeare, Carolina here, David Hensley and Chris O'Neill. Thank you so much for hanging around for a little bit longer and putting up with our chicanery.
Shenanigans.
Starnanigans. Actually, that's what we call it here. Precious. All right, so you guys are going to be at Con Carolinas with us next week. Go to concarolinas.org to get your tickets if you have not done so already.
Do it.
Do it now. And you're going to be doing scenes from They Fight at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning in
main programming.
So make sure to go check that out. And then, of course, you have Macbeth opening on June 22nd. Running through July 1st, so it's only 6 shows. So rush right away. As soon as June 1st gets there, get your tickets. Buy ones for Carol and I.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about stuff you forgot to say last time when we gave you all
that's
the
right.
unlimited time.
Well, I got excited, right? We were excited, and we were talking about, you know, like some of the cast members. But, you know, Charles Holmes, who helped put together They Fight, is the fight choreographer for Macbeth, as well as playing King Duncan and Seward. Charles is also has his own company called Fenton Parry that choreographs fights for other theaters and films and whatnot. And then one of the things that kind of, I think, separates us from the pack a little bit with a lot of our productions is, you know, and I'm biased, she's my wife, but my wife composes and performs original music for a lot of the shows we do. She teaches flute at Winthrop, and she's played with the Charlotte Symphony, and she just recently finished a couple of gigs with the Beckler Ensemble at the Beckler Museum of Modern Art. And so she's the class of the act, you know, if you were to see the two of us together. But I, you know, whenever we're doing one of these plays and she's working on it with me, you know, I got to make sure she gets a lot of the credit. It's
cool.
The music and the sound almost becomes another character. So I just wanted to, you know, make sure I got that out there.
Well,
and also, Charles, you know, a plug for Charles and what he does when he's not working with us as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see that? He told us he had one more thing he had to say.
So it was two.
And it was the wife.
That's the most important.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, there are priorities. We
that's
get
right.
That.
Sure.
All right, so speaking about priorities, before I talk, I did want to mention, if you haven't listened to NPR's This American Life, they recently did an episode on Scene 5, Act 5 from Macbeth, and done from a prison drama series.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating stuff. And when you were talking about Macduff, I was thinking about that. The guy who plays Macduff in the prison has some interesting things to say. So definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Speaking of other things, the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Goldbergs?
Yeah.
It's
did you see the last episode of the season, I guess?
Refresh my memory. Was it its graduation?
Yeah.
It's on my DVR. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I won't spoil it, but it's I mean, what do you love about it? I mean, I've talked about it before, so it's good to get another perspective.
I grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
Me too.
So, I graduated high school in 83.
Okay.
Right? So, I can relate to, you know, a lot of, and not far from where they're supposed to be.
Okay.
Right? I grew up in New Jersey. About halfway between New York and Philly. So, you know, they're in Philly. And, you know, the only thing that I don't like about it is that they're Flyers and Eagles fans. I'm a Rangers and Giants fan. You know, but it's silly.
Yeah.
You know, and the older I get, the more I become like their dad. You know, my
you run around with no pants.
Yo, all the time. You know,
we have to text him before we come over just to make sure he's wearing pants on.
Yeah, we put on pants. You know,
it's a burden.
It, really it is. Yeah. It is. I a common phrase, and David will tell you, is I'm going to go home. I've had pants on too long today.
And yet they never lock their doors.
No.
Oh, that's tragic.
Misleading.
It is. It is. It's a trap.
But I won't spoil the episode, but Kevin Smith did return to direct the episode. Excellent. Which is, he's an 80s guy too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
completely falls in line with that. Yeah. He has a blast doing it, which is cool. So,
I grew up not far from where Kevin did, and so his movies are completely relatable. Like, I know those people.
Oh, wow.
Like, those people, they're not just from they existed. You know what I mean? They're like New Jersey characters, you know?
Right. Well, and that's one of the things we talked about, too, the way that at the end he'll often show clips of what the story was about and how it actually did happen, so.
And then Patton Oswalt doing the narration is freaking perfect.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, speaking of other things from our childhood, Scooby-Doo is going to be making an appearance in Supernatural.
We've talked about this before. We share things in this little sub Facebook group of insanity, and then we forget what the fuck we shared. But no, I actually remember. So they're actually going to do some kind of partially animated episode of Supernatural, and Scooby-Doo is definitely going to be there. They didn't say
after
anything.
12 seasons.
What the fuck is left, really?
Did they do a musical episode? I have to say, Supernatural is one of those shows I've never started because there's 12 fucking seasons, I can't devote that much time.
And yet, you know that it's great.
I know it's a great show.
But I have so many other things that I could knock out.
I tried to watch it, just on a regular TV for, 2 weeks, and they didn't play them in order.
Oh, God.
And it was, and I think it was only that time 10 seasons, but they were all over the place, and I'm like, wait, that guy's all of a sudden really young now. What is going on? They had no order to it, and I was like, I can't keep up with this. They were great, but I was like, oh.
I just don't have that time to devote. Sorry, Supernatural fans.
And yet you'll listen to 200 episodes of Night Vale, but.
Well, yeah, that's just, that's easy.
That's crazy. Well, maybe if you were the last man on Earth, you'd have some time.
Yeah. So this is another show that just ended, and it's Will Forte. It's his creation of a show.
Did it end?
No. It was renewed for another season, which is awesome. This will be season 4. I can't believe this thing's still in the air. It's so, especially on Fox, because they usually cancel all the good stuff. But it's a quirky show, and they keep the Sunday at 9 o'clock time slot. So I don't think they really compete with too much. And they don't do it during football season, so they're good there. But yeah, so it ended, and all of a sudden, it was really cool. So what was happening is, all of a sudden, they noticed that this nuclear power plant in California that they were kind of near, they didn't realize, was burning. And then, so they drive, and they go to the next state over, and there's another one that's burning. And so they figure out the only place they can go, they crash this library, because it's another Earth, there's no electronics left. They go look at these books from 1990. That's the only books they can find. And there are nuclear power plants everywhere except for Los Angeles. And they go back, but that's where this guy that was chasing them and they had ran over but not killed, really hated them, was living. So they really didn't want to go back there. So they decided to go back, steal a boat, and take off. So they try to steal this yacht. And then Kristen Wiig shows up. She had been introduced living in this bunker midway through the season. So they always end it with some SNL person joining the cast, so she's joining the cast, and she kind of saved the day, and then that was into the season. But
how good would it be if out of the bunker came Kimmy Schmidt?
You never know.
Yeah. Speaking of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, great segue. Woo-hoo. To hell. You did awesome.
Yeah, came back to the table.
Way to bring it to the table, my friend.
So I binge watched the entire third season of
We've gotten through 4. So, very funny.
It's very funny. It's Kimmy Schmidt. It's basically more of the same.
I'd say more Titus heavy.
It is Titus heavy.
And I love Titus, but I was like, wait, is Kimmy in the episode?
Yeah, there are some other episodes where it's Lillian it balances, heavy.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
I like her, but wow, yeah.
It's kind of like, okay. But yeah, Kimmy goes to college and kind of sort of gets a divorce, but doesn't. And
don't spoil too much, yeah.
Don't spoil too much.
But yeah.
She's silly.
The one thing that's hard with a show like Kimmy Schmidt is the fact that they tap into a lot of modern current events. And if you're not somebody who lives in that world, you're not going to get all the references. I'm sure that the Beyonce Lemonade sequence
it was a video.
Yeah. But I'm sure that it was a lot funnier for people who've watched the video and listened to the whole album, and that's not me.
So you have not gone to the episode where Titus explains the cruise ship?
No.
Okay.
No.
I won't say anything.
Whoa.
We saw clips of the cruise ship, but never actually what really truly happened. So, but yeah, so that's the only thing with it. Is still, I loved it. We watched several episodes until we had to go to bed, and then we haven't gotten back to it yet, but...
Yeah, I just binge watch the whole damn season because that's the way I do.
That's how you roll.
That's how she does.
It is. You're going to give me the whole season. I'm going to watch the whole damn season. Something that doesn't give me the whole season, and it's not on the list, but I'm going to bring it up. Game of Thrones dropped their first trailer today.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really, really good. It looks really pretty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very, very pretty. I can't wait for July. But
it could have been like 60 seconds of text that said, fuck you, you're going to watch it, and I've still been excited.
It's a great trailer. It could just be Peter Dinklage in there sipping coffee going, you know you're going to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
You know you're going to fucking watch it.
I'd have been every bit as excited.
Yeah. Are you excited about the spinoffs that they're talking about?
I heard there are spinoffs, but I...
What is this?
There's like four. There's four spinoffs.
Yeah, I don't know what the details
are. Yeah, what they actually do. But according to Martin, none of them are Duncan Egg.
Which, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, which is weird.
Huh.
But he said there was four, and then he went to meet with producers, and suddenly there was five.
Well, anything to keep him from finishing the last two books.
And having met the man, it's hard to keep him focused on anything.
He needs a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Get the man a fidget spinner.
Yeah. And some beer, because he'll drink it.
Have you seen the Batman ones? Somebody's made Batman ones out of metal that are fidget spinners, but they just look like they're going to hurt people. That's all I have.
Well, I support that.
Yeah. I did see the meme that said the original Batman fidget spinner, and it was the Kroll.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember what it's called.
Any of the Predator weapons.
Yeah, there you go. Fidget spinners. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a thing that spins on your finger.
Yeah, you spin it.
Oh, I read about a guy getting one caught up his anus.
Yeah, I know.
What?
That's not how you spin it, honey.
Why did you
spin it there?
How do you spin it?
I slipped and fell on it.
He fully admitted that he was like, that's a different level of fidgety. And then he like, I think he kind of sat down on it accidentally and it went too far up.
Oh.
And they had to like cut it out.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, my cousin used to work in the ER and he brought us home a x-ray of somebody who sat on a light bulb and there was no way to get it out. It cracked out. Yeah. And why that glass is sharp.
Yeah, let me show you this x-ray from work. Why would you do that?
Hey, you know, I used to work in insurance.
The fart needles.
I used to work in title insurance and people would have to present death certificates, you know, if title in order to pass title from one to another. And we had a drawer of the special death certificates.
Fell on a light bulb.
Nice.
Well, no, there was a woman who, like, she electrocuted herself with an old-time vibrator. So, yeah.
Frayed wires.
Frayed wires. And the sad thing is, like, it said, like, her profession was high school teacher. And so can you imagine her kids having to present, yes, my mom was found in a bathtub lonely and alone.
Well, why would you say that? She just slipped and fell in the bath.
It was an accident.
Because that's what the doctor put on the death certificate.
But you don't, like, have to tell everybody. How'd your mom die?
Yeah.
Vibrator accident. Yeah.
I don't think they had show and tell for that kid.
Right.
This is the vibrator that killed grandma.
So the death certificate said personal personal electronic device.
Mm-hmm. Personal pleasure.
So her iPod.
Transistor radio.
There's a lot of ways to spin that.
Elena's just puckered up. Ow.
Let's spin some Twin Peaks, please.
Yeah, please. Take us out of this.
So, Twin Peaks is back.
Was it the same acid trip it was before?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was so blissful. I've watched the first three episodes. I'm going to go home and watch episode four. But yes, it is very David Lynch. It is very Twin Peaks. It's obviously not on a network channel because he can get very bloody now.
Yeah.
And even more strange. And episode three is just pure Eraserhead. The noises to the visuals, I was like, oh my God. And I'm kind of worried that this may be the last thing that he does because he's already said he's not going to do any more movies. Oh. So I have a feeling after this he's going to retire.
So they released a whole bunch of episodes?
They released the whole three.
Three at a time.
Yeah. Well, the first four episodes are kind of part one, part two, part one, part two.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're calling it two episodes, but it's really four. It's right. 4 hours.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great.
But it picks up kind of sort of right where Twin Peaks left off, only, 25 years later, because the last scene in Twin Peaks is Laura Palmer in the Red Room saying, backwards saying, I'll see you in 25 years, and she comes back.
Wow.
So,
that's
incredible. I almost cried when I saw the log lady.
Yes.
That was sad.
Rest in peace.
That was, that was really sad, but we did get a couple scenes, but she had worked with David Lynch for years and years and years and years, so... It was very bittersweet to see her, but everybody else is back.
That's awesome.
So
yeah.
If you didn't watch the original series, could you watch this?
No.
No. And it's like, I want to go back because I watched the first two, or one, the first 2 hours. And it's like, now I got to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
And
that was...
we were talking in the car. Yeah. It was 25 years ago.
Right.
And I kind of lost interest in the second season because, like everybody else did.
Yeah.
Which is why it got canceled.
The network kind of came in and told Lynch,
you have to make this normal, and
how do you tell David Lynch that?
Because what is his idea of normal anyway?
Right.
His idea of normal is women with eyes showed stuff. But no, you're going to want to go back and rewatch because, quite frankly, if you can't make it through the first season of Twin Peaks and it's too weird for you, this is going to be way too weird for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the first season of Twin Peaks is very David Lynch, but it's watered down David Lynch because it was on a network.
Mm-hmm.
It was on I think it was on
ABC.
Yeah.
ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I can't
So this is Showtime, so he gets a little leeway.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you can't make it through the first season of Twin Peaks, this is going to be like...
Yeah, I made it through the first. I didn't finish the second.
Yeah.
So
I finished it just because I love David Lynch. I freaking love everything he does, but, I have to say the second season was kind of hard because it was very obvious that they took a lot of the creativity
away from him.
But, boy, they're just letting him do whatever the fuck he wants with this. Yeah. It's awesome.
I tell you, I didn't realize how great of an actor he was when he was on Louis C.K.'s show. Louis is basically David Letterman's producer. And Louis, got the job. And he was a fucking great producer, but he acted. I mean, I was like... That is what's that guy's name? Rollins, the extra real producer. It was like he really seemed like this producer.
Well, he was in Twin Peaks too.
Yeah,
he's an FBI
but it's just
agent.
Like,
and strangely
still
enough,
he's still killing it, man.
He's also a voice, or was a voice, on the Cleveland show.
What?
Yeah, he's the voice of the bartender, and is in many episodes. And the first time I saw that in the credits, it blew my mind.
Because he doesn't sound like him at all.
Yeah, it's not the voice that you expect to come from that mind.
Interesting. Huh.
Plus, he's recorded a couple albums, which are very David Lynch. If you, imagine David Lynch singing. That's what you get on the album.
Nice.
But he's a good composer too. I love David Lynch, so I was just pleased as punch that Twin Peaks is back.
Good deal.
Yay!
Check it out.
To go to an extremist, Doctor Who.
Nice.
So the last episode, last week's episode was called Extremis. And it's very interesting. It's the return of Missy, but she's not the pivotal character. It's very interesting. It's very mind warpy, David Lynchy
kind of. I'm kind of curious how they're going to explain the fact that they're bringing the Master back as well. Do they explain it? Because I haven't watched this
episode. In my opinion, without giving too many spoilers. What they have done is set it up so that you could see the plausibility. This particular episode is about a document that it's kind of like The Ring. Everybody who reads it dies. Everybody who reads it kills themselves. And the Pope comes to Doctor Who and asks him to read it. Except for if you saw Oxygen, you know that reading is a bit of a challenge for him right now.
That just reminds me of Monty Python and the joke that kills everybody that makes you laugh to death.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of a thing. So it's very trippy. It's interesting because as I was looking up the title to make sure I had it right, if you look at IMDb, every single episode of this season, the star rating continues to climb up. And it truly is.
It is a very good season.
A very good season.
And I'm sorry,
and it redeems Capaldi in ways that, you know, you'd only hoped for, that, you know, if somebody... the writing's just been brilliant.
And the chemistry with Pearl Mackey, who plays Bill,
and Nordahl is just, you know, amazing. I think Nordahl is a very underplayed character, and therefore it makes it...
And he got more time to shine this episode, which was good.
Yeah.
And actually, Capaldi, he got kind of more of a spotlight on this one. It's been a little Bill... heavy, which has been a good thing, I think.
But yeah, we needed that.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm very excited about Doctor Who. So,
plus, they redeemed the Sonic sunglasses, I think, which was kind of...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, I really think it was a powerful episode. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see where it's going next. Kind of waiting to see, because it continues to improve. We're only halfway through the season. I'm a little nervous. But really good. Really good stuff. Yeah. So let's move on over to Dark Crystal.
Yes.
Coming
Netflix.
To Netflix.
Netflix is doing a prequel to the movie The Dark Crystal. And they're working with Jim Henson. And I'm Jim Henson's production company, obviously, not Jim Henson. Yeah, they got a Ouija board out.
Mm-hmm. Well, with so Dark really, Crystal, that wouldn't be...
You wouldn't be too out of the norm. I'm really excited about this because I love The Dark Crystal. But they didn't show a whole lot. So it's still in production, so we'll have to see when they drop a bigger trailer.
What is the Dark Crystal? Was it a book or a play? What?
No, it was the anti-Muppet movie.
Yeah.
it was Jim Henson and Muppets without...
Nah, these were not Muppets. It was Gelflings and Skeksis. And it was Jim Henson doing a fantasy epic prior to Labyrinth.
Okay.
But it's all puppets.
I didn't mean Muppets. I meant puppets.
Muppets.
Sorry.
And if you go to, if you're in Atlanta for Dragon Con, if you can get in there a little bit early or still a little bit late, I think they still have the Jim Henson puppetry.
The Jim Henson exhibit at the Puppetry Museum.
Yeah, and a couple of my friends have gone and shared pictures, and it's just unbelievable.
It's awesome.
It's the actual freaking, all the stuff. It's beautiful,
cool. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So you saw Alien, huh?
I did. I saw Alien Covenant. I'm not sure why this was made.
It's not
a horrible, horrible film. It's not.
Did you guys see?
I'm going Memorial Day.
Okay, don't.
I won't spoil it.
You did not
like you already it? Did.
My review, I gave it a C+. If you liked Prometheus, you'll like this one. It's a sequel. If you hated Prometheus, you'll hate this one.
That's good to know.
If you were kind of indifferent about Prometheus and slightly entertained and then quickly forgot about it, which was me.
That was me.
Yeah. You'll be indifferent about this one and somewhat entertained and then quickly forget about it.
So just tell me this. Does Michael Fassbender play a huge role?
Yes.
The thing is that I feel like in the trailers you've seen, you see that Michael Fassbender's in the film, but then they focus on that woman. And I'm like...
Well, the
Michael Fassbender
is
the big star here. Why are they not showing him?
The woman set up to be the new Ripley. But yes, Michael Fassbender plays two characters. He plays Walter, who is the synthetic on the Covenant, which is a colony ship. And then he plays David, which is the synthetic from Prometheus.
Okay.
So, yeah, he plays two characters. He's a very pivotal part.
Okay.
My problem is this crew is so fucking stupid.
Stupider than the crew on the Prometheus.
Yes.
Wow.
At least the captain is. The captain, I'm just like...
Who's the captain?
Billy Crudup.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Danny McBride in it, too?
Yeah, he is. And he is actually quite good.
Yeah.
The acting here isn't bad.
Right.
The acting across the board is really bad. The visuals are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. it plays very fast and loose with the gestation of the actual creatures. But my problem is the storyline was just like, okay, you just set these people up to be so stupid that they just deserve everything that happens to them. And it didn't help that I watched Alien and Aliens before going in, and those are such superior films.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when you've got something.
Yeah, and I don't know who was clamoring for a sequel to Prometheus, because Prometheus was just so dividing. I don't know why he didn't do like a further down the road.
Well, I think most people wanted something that was going to make Prometheus make more sense.
This didn't help.
Yeah.
This didn't really help. It answers a few questions, but then it left a whole bunch unanswered. So
that's probably why they released all these little film video vignettes before the movie.
Yeah, because those were actually pretty good. Yeah, James Franco plays the original captain of the Covenant, and you don't see him other than him bursting into flames in the movie itself.
Oh, okay.
Which is what a lot of people would like to see from James Franco.
So, you could do that, James. But that's the only part of James Franco you see is him like bursting into flames.
Nice.
Wonder how much you got paid for that.
I don't know.
More than me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. A lot more than I'll make this year. But I gave it a C+. It's there.
You can read more about it on the website. Mm-hmm.
A full review, there are spoilers.
Yeah. So, something that was spoiled for Guardians of the Galaxy, Nathan Fillion wasn't in it.
Yeah, they cut his scene. He was supposed to play Simon Williams, which is Wonder Man, and if you go back to the Marvel comic books, he was one of those classic things that always happens, a bad guy that turns into a good guy and then becomes this awesome hero. And it's a shame because his cameo actually was just him on posters on this wall.
Yep.
And they released the posters, and aren't they freaking beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, James Gunn just designed a whole bunch of made-up film posters with Nathan Fillion as Simon Williams as these characters.
Oh, just, yeah.
Including Tony Stark, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
And what was supposed to have been based on Jobs.
You never see the posters?
That actually got cut from the movie, but yeah, James Gunn's come out and said this is still canon because it'll probably be on the DVD or Blu-ray or whatever.
Special edition.
And Nathan Fillion's his good buddy, so they're like, he wants him to make sure he's around. If he doesn't, James Gunn is going to do three. But he probably said he'd probably just be a producer or consultant for four. He's not going to actually direct four. But isn't that nice to like line up that much work like that? Yes. I can't imagine. As a creative, I can't imagine.
Who else is lining up work just on the other side of the table is Joss Whedon.
Not for a very happy reason.
However, this is his second DC movie that he's taking on.
Yeah.
He has been announced as a replacement for Zack Snyder. Unfortunately, Zack's 20-year-old daughter recently passed away, and so he has stepped away from Justice League, and now Joss Whedon is coming into it, which is interesting, because didn't we have Justice League posters?
Yeah, we did.
Well, it's post-production.
It's post-production, yeah. He's talking to Justice League, I think the second one.
No, this is the current one. It's in post-production, but... so what happened, what I read, Zack Snyder had to go, even after all the stuff happened in March, his daughter committed suicide, and he's got 7 kids, he and his wife, biological and foster kids and all this other stuff. So it's like he was in England doing some other scenes that after they did the first screening he thought needed to be there, and he was just like, he took the next flight home and told the studio he couldn't do it, and they were like, yeah, we don't understand how you're even doing this. So but I mean, you got Joss Whedon who did the Avengers, so I think he can finish it up.
Yeah. Maybe he'll help with the DCU.
Well, I mean, I think about him taking over the second Thor movie.
The Dark World.
The Dark World? He took over the Dark World? I think you're thinking incorrectly.
He's the one who put in the scenes where Loki kept changing who he looked like as he walked along the
hallway. Oh, yeah, okay. He directed that.
Okay, so he directed that bit, okay.
Yeah, and he went back and did some post-editing
and
added scenes in and stuff like that. And you could really see where he punched up what could have been another one of that. I mean, okay. Joey's going to use words now.
Okay.
Sorry, I realized I wasn't doing complete sentences. Thank you. My brain was just going really fast. But of all of the Avengers, we know that Thor is the one that has those grandiose, sweeping, epic, you know, speeches and stuff like that because he was Thor, and that's the way that character was run. But then when Joss Whedon got a hold of it, you know, he actually has that moment of self-awareness, which is what we love so much about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the spinoff with Angel. You know, when Cordelia looks at Angel and says, "Do you have moose? What am I thinking? Of course you have moose." You know, of course Thor and Loki have these grandiose words, but Joss Whedon makes them self-aware that they're doing that. And so, therefore, the first Thor movie was, you know, I realized...
It was Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. It was a lot more heavy-handed, and the second one, I felt, was a much better paced film. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a problem that DC has, of always wanting to do these grand, sweeping dramas, and yet be as successful as Marvel. So maybe bringing Joss to their side of the table might help them a little bit, especially given how bad Suicide Squad was.
For real.
For real. Let me give you some exposé about everybody but this guy, because he's about to die. So,
I have to say, I have to say the character in the comic book died very similar to that.
I get that, but still, it's like, could we be a little more Captain Obvious?
This is
about
Slipknot.
The whole thing?
That was Slipknot.
Yeah, so, speaking about Marvel and DC and stuff, we have quite a lot of good news. There's a third trailer that came out for Spider-Man today.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Awesome. You get to see a lot more of the teenage side of things, and I thought that was great.
Is this the one that they... Did this just release today? Because I saw one before.
Yeah, it just released today.
Yeah. It's and my favorite parts are... It's right out of the comic books. The part I always love where the mask is up, just like right above the nose, and he's eating a churro from the street. And you know, back then it was a hot dog vendors, but it was like, oh, got a churro? He's like, you know, and it's just... Yeah. It's got the humor, you know. It's got those scenes from when I was growing up. I'm all in, man.
Yeah. What about with Tom Hardy cast as Venom? We all in on that?
It's Tom Hardy.
It's Tom Hardy, but why?
I don't get it.
It is Tom Hardy.
But why are they still going forward with a Venom spinoff when...
It's not going to spin out of Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, so it's...
How are they going to do it?
Yeah, how do you do a standalone Venom film that isn't...
And why do you do a standalone Venom film if he's a villain? I mean...
I don't understand why they wouldn't tie it into Spider-Man.
He looks a little like Deadpool, and maybe people will misunderstand and pay money anyway.
But Venom's black. I mean, he's got the black uniform, not the red one.
Mm-hmm. People are stupid.
Because people are stupid. Because
it's Tom Hardy, and people will purchase a ticket.
At least it'll be R-rated. So.
And Sony is still... Yeah, Sony is still trying to cling to the Spider-Man properties and milk them.
For all they're worth.
Like, what do we got? We gotta got something, you know? We don't have a rocket.
I think they'd already
have a raccoon. We don't have a...
They had already sunk so much money into pre-production on Venom before they lost it. Spider-Man to Marvel that I think at this point they might as well just bring it to term.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It'll be Tom Hardy, so at least it'll look pretty when he's not in the costume.
Some good acting, hopefully.
Well, you know, speaking of sinking a lot of money in the Star Trek trailer, not getting the bang for the buck that they were hoping for.
Well, it's getting the bang for the buck. It looked very pretty. It really does. It's one of those things where I'm not quite... It's kind of like the Alien Covenant, where I'm not quite understanding why the technology in this looks so pretty, since it's happening before the original series. And it's the same with Alien Covenant. It's like, everything works and everything's shiny and new. How can this be before Alien? But apparently a bunch of butthurt geek boys are butthurt because there's not enough men's. There's like women captain and black girls and, you know, first officer and
these are the same people who get upset because films are too whitewashed, and now they're saying there's not enough.
No, these are not the people.
Well, these are the same people who got upset about Daisy Ridley.
Yeah,
being the star of White, Force Awakens.
And Finn. You know, why is there a black stormtrooper?
And why are there female Ghostbusters?
Exactly. Right, so it's just the same little whiny crybabies that they didn't like the trailer because there was a female captain, and One of the comments was, why don't you get a captain that can speak English? I'm like, I dare you to go to Michelle Yeoh and say that to her face and then watch her beat the shit out of you.
People who want to troll. Trolls are under bridges, and there's one in Atlanta that could use some boosting up, so get over it.
Yeah, get over it. Other than that, it looked good. Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it. It's Star Trek. If it doesn't live up, I'll stop watching it, which is what I did with Voyager. And what I did with Enterprise once that song started playing, and I was like, no.
I am a little concerned that it's a bunch of females and the initials are STD, but that's just me. So.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not Shatner's Star Trek.
We're living in the far flung future.
You never know.
Oh.
Far flung.
Yeah, even in the future, you still got to wear protection.
That's right.
That's right. Damn it! There's no advancements.
Alien diseases,
no.
And we know Shatner. He flings it far. Okay, moving right on to the Black Lightning trailer, my friends.
Black Lightning trailer.
Black. Oh, TV. Yeah, this is TV. It's gonna be on the CW. Oh, you're fine. Yeah, it's going to be on the CW. I couldn't believe they already had a trailer for this thing. It doesn't start till the fall. And it was like a full trailer. But basically, Black Lightning comes out
in
retirement.
We had Orville last week, and that's a full trailer for Fox in the fall. So they're coming now.
That looks good, actually.
That does look good.
The world.
Yeah. But Black Lightning looks good. I used to read the comic books, and it was the first solo series for an African-American superhero that DC did back in the day, which is cool.
But, I saw Black Lightning and I thought it was Black Dynamite and I was like, wait a minute, they're doing a new Black Dynamite?
Well, I have this horrible I've got this horrible thing when equally as disturbing there was
now
a,
I need you to repeat that line with your Minnesota accent.
Well, golly, who the hell is interrupting my Kung Fu there? That's just too bad. You know,
sorry, I amused myself. Go on.
Let's go. Right. Let's go to the Vanity Fair magazines.
All right. You know, here's the thing.
What?
Amazingly beautiful pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That Vanity Fair released today from the Last Jedi. Heartbreaking to look at them because they're
Carrie Fisher.
So beautiful as Vanity Fair does.
Well, it's Annie Leibovitz.
Annie Leibovitz just did a beautiful job. There's pictures of Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher together, but I think the most heart-wrenching and yet beautiful ones, and I'm so glad that they exist given the situation, are with Carrie Fisher and her daughter aboard. I just thought that was amazing and well done, but
in a sweet picture of Captain Phasma, who will be back, hopefully playing a better part than the first one.
I hope they have her like that without her helmet on.
Yeah.
Because I was like, she looks badass there. It's like, yeah.
So, yeah, I have a severe woman crush on Gwendolyn Christie. So, to see her in
she's tall,
The Last
and
Jedi
mighty,
and Game of Thrones, I'll be happy.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's just move along. We've been talking kind of comic stuff. You've got a couple comics that you've read recently.
Yeah, so really weird. Secret Empire is Marvel's. I think it's absolutely horrible.
Is this the Captain Hydra
maxi series? Yeah, Captain America has with this cosmic cube, which you've seen a lot of. This has been in the Marvel movies too. But as far as the cosmic cube, what it is, but it can alter reality. So apparently, they've used it to make Captain America a sleeper Hydra agent the whole time since like World War II. And it's just like, this is the comic where he's punching fucking Adolf Hitler on the cover.
Right.
Like back in the day. It's just, it doesn't fit this classic character. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And but then the end of this second issue of Secret Empire, at the end, out of this portal comes Steve Rogers with a beard. And he's like, I'm trying to find my way home. And it's, so it's like, is this a clone? Is the Captain Hydra clone, or is it alternate timelines? Because they love to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know what they're going to do, because they've kind of painted themselves into a corner, because Marvel had said that this is not a clone. So it's like, we don't know what the hell's going on. But obviously they're trying to redeem themselves.
They're trying to save face.
Yeah, because upcoming they've got this thing called Generations, which is not the Star Trek movie, but it's basically they're trying to bring all the classic
characters back because people are pretty pissed at Marvel right now. So
yeah,
and I'll and this is a big reason why.
You do everything so well, and then they fail at comics, which is the thing.
Right? Yeah. They need to be careful, yeah, because it's like people don't buy them as much, and they're really expensive now. So it's like, you really have to be careful with those fans. So.
They really took the diversity ball and ran with it, and a lot of Marvel fans think they took it too far with switching things up.
Yeah, it's some odd choices, but I think in generations they're going to have those pairings, so it'll be, you know, they'll try to redeem everything, which I don't know if that'll work either. And they're going to go back to original numbering on the comics, which, because they would, like Squirrel Girl, I would go to buy Squirrel Girl for Joey, and it was like, they had relaunched the thing twice in 1 year. And I was at
Spider-Gwen also, yeah.
Yeah, and I was at Rebel Base, and they have, like, he's got lots of inventory, so I'm like, I was buying number two and number three, but it was the two different series. So it was like nothing to do with each other as far as story-wise. And I read them, and I was like, what the hell? So, yeah, they need to calm down.
They need to quit. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, is there any redemption in the Cassian and K2SO special?
Yeah, this is cool. I love, they're just going to do a one-shot, and it's going to be right before Rogue One. So, yeah, K2SO, I'm in. I want to see.
Rogue One?
Yeah, Rogue One, Cassian, and K2SO.
Prequel for Rogue One.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were saying before the release of Last Jedi.
No.
I was confused.
Oh, no, Rogue One.
I was mixing my metaphors.
Right. Mixing you. Yep. You're mixing your forces.
Yeah.
Don't mix the force.
I won't mix your
force. Don't cross this force.
So, before we end with our memorial,
our downer.
just let me go through the community calendar. And if you enjoy the community calendar, starting next week, we'll actually be having it as a separate little segment coming available to you. Partly because, A, we're not doing a podcast next week because we're going to be doing it.
Karen will be pulling her hair out.
For Con Carolinas. Go
everywhere.
To Con Carolinas. Please go to Con Carolinas.
Please go to Con Carolinas.
And if you see Carol and she doesn't have a drink in her hand, fix that. Drink. Okay, so tonight, Thursday night, there's so many cool things you could do. You could go to Game Fan Appreciation Night over at Xbox. It's at the Microsoft store there. And then make sure you go check out Bay Day at Sugar Creek Brewing Company. Of course, if you want to get your trivia on, you can go to Mirror League Players Trivia over at the Rusty Onion. You can also go and hang out with the geeks at Trivia Night over at Fabo. And then, of course, if you are up in Raleigh, go see Riot Kittens and Nerdvana present Revenge of the Otaku.
Yes. Mm. That will be a very good show. That's going to sell out. So if you're in Raleigh and you want to go see some good burlesque, buy a
and
ticket early.
You're listening to this now?
Yeah, buy a ticket because it will sell out before Animazement.
You probably don't have enough time to get up there.
Not.
But anyway.
But they do have some VIP packages available.
Monthly Board Game Night at Mugs is going to be on Friday. And that's also always a great new event for new members, and there's nothing to be afraid of. If anybody's mean to you, just let us know. Gears of War 4 has a pro paint tournament over at the Microsoft store on Saturday, the 27th. And then, of course, next week on June 2nd, we have Con Carolina. You can come out and see us there. We're going to be at the Charlotte Geeks Geek Gala table at the bottom of the escalator. We'll also be doing our panel on Saturday morning. And Sunday morning at 11 a.m. You can also go see Shakespeare Carolina at 10 a.m. in main programming for They Fight. And then that following Tuesday, the 13th, which is a week after that, is the June Geek Book Club with Little Big by John Crowley. And you can go that following two Saturdays after that for Pokemon Training 101. Mm. And if you're a big film person, make sure you go see the Queen City Cinephiles with their independent film screening over at Petra's. That's going to be June 22nd. And then on June 23rd, if you have not already gone, you can go see Macbeth.
That's right.
Which, of course, you will go and add to the community calendar right after we get done recording this podcast. And then looking forward, make sure you make some plans in July. We'll be up at Congregate.
Yes.
And then for August, there's Mega Moose Con, there's Queen City Anime Con, there's going to be Clever Con, and of course, there'll be Charlotte Comic Con. So if you don't have something to do, go
You're
to the community calendar. That's over at charlottegeeks.com/calendar. And of course, if you have an event you want to add, now you know where to put it. So make sure to check out our special little segment starting next week. We'll release that every week so that you can know how to plan your week better. And in the meantime, before we sign off for the evening, we do want to pay tribute to...
Two. I'm going to add one on here because just a couple days ago, Clerks actress...
I'm sorry. The agenda has been printed.
Look, she didn't know. So we were speaking of Kevin Smith earlier. Lisa Spoonhour, who was Caitlin in the original Clerks, passed away this week.
She's the one
that
sucked the 36
days. That's
right.
Yeah. In a row? 37. And of course, Chris Cornell as well.
Right.
Yes.
If you have thoughts, reach out to somebody.
Please.
And, you know, reach out to us if you need to. And then, of course, 007, for some of us, it was the first Roger Moore we knew in our time.
It was James Bond.
Yeah. It was James Bond. I loved him in The Saint.
I preferred him in The Saint, frankly. Yes. I like my Bonds a bit more hard edge. Yeah, he was kind of goofy. Let's face it, Moonraker. Come on.
Yeah.
Octopussy.
But yeah, but you know, he was like my era's Bond. So like that's right. Where I learned about James. You know,
where your era.
I don't know. And I hate to age people. So
no, we're there.
You know,
that was my Bond too. And
yeah,
that's he's where, not your age.
Right. Yeah. No.
But we are.
Okay.
You're not his age. No. But
well, seasoned.
No.
We are.
He was like my, you know, our era's Bond.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned about James Bond. Then I was all about some Sean Connery.
Sure.
And then I started reading the books. And to me, after reading the books, it's Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel Craig is probably the best book Bond.
And then
yeah.
He's really Daniel good. Craig. Sean Connery, for me, I liked Hunt for Red October. That's when I liked Sean Connery.
Yeah.
His hair was too heavy in the regular ones. It just wasn't right.
You know, anyway. Hairy little Scotsman. But no, Roger Moore and
Timothy Dalton.
No, there was he had a couple other movies that he did. There's one he plays an eccentric like SEAL team leader.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking? They retake an oil rig in the North Sea.
Yeah.
And it's like he's like an SBS officer, like, you know, which is the British version of the SEAL. Yeah. It is a brilliant movie.
Huh.
But you know, fortunately, it was a very short bout with cancer. If you're gonna go that way, you know, to not be tortured by it, definitely it.
And he was damn near 90.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you know,
which
is a pretty good run.
Yeah. You can't fault the man. He had a good run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did turn his fame, which he was always kind of humble about, into a UNICEF ambassador. And
yes.
Oh, yeah.
He did a lot.
He's always
did a
ton
with them. So he's a cool guy. So.
But, you know, talking about good runs, make sure to go check out Macbeth June 22nd through July 1st.
Yes.
And if you still don't know about them, go back and listen to episode 152. And hear David talk, because I don't think you did on this episode.
I was select.
You were very select. You talked to Game of Thrones.
If it was Marvel related, I was all in.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Marvel or Star Wars related.
Yeah.
Everything else, I was useless to you.
All right. Without a further ado, let's see how useless Carol is this time around. You're not ready,
sorry,
are you?
No, I'm
useless.
I believe in you.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
Thank you.